river recreation, flooding, pollution, drinking water. These are all pieces of a puzzle that make up the Ohio River watershed. How do we begin fitting them together into a plan for the future? In our first Headwater story, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant wades into this question.
When you live in the Ohio River headwaters, hearing newscasts like this isn't too surprising.
Dozens of people are homeless after floodwaters destroyed their homes.
Or even hearing comments like this one from Pittsburgh triathlete Sarah Kaysen after a heavy rain.
I don't think anybody wants poop in their river. People are like, oh, it must just be rain runoff. Yes, it is. It is also raw, untreated sewage. It's gross. It's really gross.
Recent years have also brought news of chemical spills and algae blooms. But what if the river wasn't a problem to be dealt with and instead essential to the region's health and economic future? What might that look like? Let's go to this party to get an idea. It's at a restaurant in the heart of a busy urban riverfront park. This is a who's who in water. Researchers, technology geeks, water treatment experts, political and business leaders. Everyone's talking about how water fits into the region's economic development plans. But we're not in Pittsburgh. This is the first annual meeting of Cleveland's Water Alliance. Cleveland, of course, is home to the infamous Burning River and Lake Erie, known for toxic green algae in recent years. But Cleveland's ahead when it comes to putting a value on its water and how to leverage it to benefit the region. Alliance Executive Director Brian Stubbs says their efforts are already paying off.
Now we're starting to see the investment community pay attention. So what we're trying to do is to get private capital engaged in this space. No longer is it a lift of just the state or just the city or just a watershed group. We're now trying to figure out and having conversations with big money.
So look, tonight's about the organization.
Stubbs told Water Alliance members that their region has added more than 200 water technology jobs. They've got patents in the works. They're even launching a large-scale competition in cities around the Great Lakes to spur innovation in water technology. So if Cleveland's starting to bring in big money around its water, why can't the Ohio River watershed get similar action? Community planner Jerry Paytas with the consulting firm Fourth Economy looked into water's role in this region's economy.
I don't think it's top of mind. It's not something that people are thinking about. So in that regard, we're not really valuing what the water can mean to us long term.
The report he co-authored in 2011 found that water was already having a big economic impact. 3,000 firms were providing components, products, and services for the water industry, water supplies for agriculture, food processing, thermoelectric plants, and the energy industry supported more than $24 billion in the area's economy. The report also found that the region and the Ohio River headwaters has a unique opportunity to use its industrial strengths to grow a variety of water-related industries. But no one's coordinating a vision for the future of water in this region.
It's been referred to as the Wild West because there's no management of water.
Deborah Lang is in charge of special environmental projects at Carnegie Mellon University. After Paytas' report came out, she helped facilitate a committee of experts from Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio a few years ago. Their goal?
Start to get the Headwaters region, which stretches all the way up into New York, prepared for the future of water.
But that effort largely stalled. There just wasn't much interest in a multi-state effort to create a vision for the watershed.
Probably the biggest hurdle, and probably why we've been at this for 20 years, is that nobody wants another layer of regulation, approval, fees.
Lang says there are already plenty of groups and agencies working on water issues in the Headwaters region. On the state level, environmental agencies approve water withdrawals and regulate pollution.
So the Department of Environmental Protection might be granting permits.
There's the U.S. Army Corps.
The Corps of Engineers is monitoring water flow and managing their locks and dams.
There's a group called RAIN.
RAIN is collecting real-time water quality data.
And then there's ORSANCO.
Their compact has them worry about water quality in the entire Ohio River Basin. There's no coordination of all of that. So we have a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are working. We're close, but we just kind of need that little push to begin to coordinate.
This isn't a new concept. Other watersheds have been doing it for decades. There's the Great Lakes Compact, which spells out who can take water and how much. The Susquehanna River, the Delaware River, the Chesapeake Bay all have multi-state commissions with planning authority, but not the Ohio River. And climate change could make that even more important. As some areas become increasingly parched, the Ohio Headwaters region is expected to see bigger rainfalls and more water.
Since we're a water-rich area, a water-poor area could, in essence, stick a straw into the water there at the point and begin extracting water.
There's no one lining up to suck up the Ohio River, at least not right now, but Lang says the region should be preparing. Community planner Jerry Paytas agrees, and for him, it's about the economy. Just look at tech companies like Google and Facebook. When they're recruiting new employees to the region, they need quality drinking water and a river clean enough for recreation.
If we don't manage the water withdrawals, if we don't manage the water quality, is going to be very difficult to add people or grow the economy. So it may not be so much of an economic driver, but it surely will become an economic break.
Paytas' 2011 report did not recommend a new water organization, but it did call for a multi-state task force or council to coordinate planning of the region's water resources. And as thirst for water grows around the world, he says the need for this is becoming increasingly important. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.